Welcome to the Oakland Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Senior Pastor Randy Bain. It's our prayer that this message encourages you and strengthens you. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.
Good morning. My name is Sadie, and I'm going to be reading Acts 2:41 through Acts 2:47. So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day they were added to about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all the believers were together, and they all had things in common. And they would sell their property and possessions and share with them all, to the extent that anyone had need. Day by day, continuing with the mind of the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together in gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day to those who were being saved.
Amen. Great job. So our theme verse for this series is verse 46, at least the first half of it. Day by day, they were continuing with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. Now, this message today is on keeping together, and for me, in this little acronym that I'm using in my mind of GRACE, G stands for growing as a disciple, R stands for reaching out, A stands for accountability, and this is where we're using the title, keeping together. So we're going to look at that in just a moment. Let us pray. Thank you, O God, for the privilege of being a part of this church. Being a part of you, of your church, but Lord, also more than anything else, being a part of the body of Christ. We are yours, O God. You have called us to yourself. We are not our own. You have sealed us and bought us and filled us with your Holy Spirit. We are yours. Lord, draw us to yourself this day. Give us ears to hear, courage to stand. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, the memory verse for today comes down to verse 42. So if you would join with me in that, please read with me. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. Acts 2:42. Well, it's kind of interesting in this sermon where this hits. Because in this season, next Sunday, on September the 18th, that week, we will launch our home groups. And right now I know of four that are launching. I got a couple more that I'm trying to get up to speed. And some of you have signed up. We probably have most of them, at least mostly filled. And we will continue to start home groups as long as we get leaders ready and hosts ready. And so I'm hoping that you will continue to do that. So that is happening. Secondly, on Tuesday, we're actually having a congregational meeting to talk about disaffiliation. Now, disaffiliation is a big complicated word, which basically means to leave the United Methodist Church and take ownership of our building. Currently, we own all of our property in trust for the United Methodist Church. So although it says Oakland on the deed, it is really owned in trust for the United Methodist Church. So that's what disaffiliation does. It's kind of interesting. So now the title of the sermon is what? Keeping Together. So how does that work? You know, how does that look? It's kind of an interesting challenge. A couple months ago, actually, I know May 1st, Jeremy was, I think, maybe just doing an announcement, maybe he was preaching. He made the announcement that Global Methodist Church has begun. So when the United Methodist Church prolonged or postponed their general conference, which we hoped would vote on a peaceful separation, when they delayed that, the Global Methodist Church said, okay, we can't wait any longer, we're going to start. So that started May 1st, and it's amazing on that Sunday and that week how many conversations I had with people coming up to me and saying, we're not like one of those churches that are leaving or splitting off, are we, right? And I'm like, well, we're actually one of the churches that are leading the charge, okay? So that's what you're going to find out about on Tuesday. If you aren't plugged in and don't know what's going on, because it's really not about keeping together in an organization, a human organization, but it is really about keeping together in the body of Christ. And really, when I think about the future, and really this is really just coming unpacked to me even today as I preach, is that my goal isn't to be a part of an organization. My goal is to be a part of the body of Christ. And that's what I want to stay a part of. It's not a country club where you vote together and make your bylaws up. It's not a football team where you try to draft free agents so that you can be a winner. But this is about being a part of the body of Christ. Our message is the good news. That's our mantra. That's what we're living by. The virgin birth of Jesus Christ, the sinless life, his sacrificial death on the cross, his death and burial, his resurrection, the miraculous resurrection, and his coming again. That's what we celebrate as Christians. That's what we're about, and that's what we're going to stay about. Our covenant book is the Bible, and we interpret that and understand that as revealed by the Holy Spirit, who Holy Spirit breathed the words into the prophets and then now interprets those words to us as we seek his face. So that's what we're all about. So that's when I talk about keeping together, that's what we want to focus on. How do we stay up, be a part, how we continue to be a part of the body of Christ? Now in this scripture, it says they were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. Continually devoting themselves. The word there in the Greek is proskarteo. Let me say it, proskarteo. It's a verb, that's where you get the eo in there. But it means two words, pros, you know, pros and cons. Pros are the positive ones, pros are the toward. And then the karteo is, it means strength. So really what we're talking about is toward strength, moving toward strength. That's what it says. They were continually devoting themselves. They were moving toward strength. They were persisting. They were actively working towards the apostles' teaching and doctrine, the breaking of bread into prayers. That's what we're about. And when we talk about keeping together, how do we do that? Well, in light of our home groups that we're launching next week, in light of everything that is ahead for the denomination, how do we keep together? First, we keep together by being available. Looking at that verse 42, when it says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, the breaking of bread, to prayer, that means they were doing that. They were making themselves available. I don't know if you know this, 90% of life is showing up, right? I mean, 90% of life is just plain showing up. And I ask you, how available are you? How available are you at your home? How available are you in your marriage, in your workplace? You know, I mean, you don't feel like you just show up. You know, I mean, sometimes in remodeling our house, I've given my wife permission to be persnickety about the little details because I could tend to gloss over a lot of little stuff that matters, you know? And so when Darlene is pointing out all these little details of things that need fixed, I'm like, okay, I'm going to show up and do that. Not that I want to. I mean, I know it needs done, but it's really a pain to do it. But I will do it. I will show up and do that. Sometimes that's just what we have to do. And really, there's multiple levels of that. How do I make myself available? Number one, personally, how do you make yourself available to the work of God in your life? Well, number one, are you praying? And I really, I think that's about as important as anything. Any new believer that I talk to, I say, make sure that you pray all the time. Make sure that you talk to Jesus. Make sure you're just in conversation with the Lord. Spend time in prayer. Do you do that? Are you available to hearing from the voice of God by spending time in prayer? Are you in the Word of God? I know that's one thing that shocks me about this culture today is people will get saved, they'll accept Jesus as Savior, and they just somehow just aren't really interested in the Bible. I'm like, are you not like reading the Word of God? I mean, when I got saved, I just couldn't get enough of the Word of God. I was just in the Word constantly. And now I have to admit, now as I'm a little older in the faith, I have to make sure that I direct myself, that I've got a discipline. I'm constantly in the Word of God. It's not all new to me, but every day there's something new. There's a new mercy every morning, and there's some new faith. Are you spending some quiet time with the Lord? Are you worshiping privately? I mean, what are you available? Some people say, I just don't hear from God. Well, are you making yourself available that you can hear from God? And then secondly, what about beyond that? What groups are you involved with that would miss you if you're not there? I mean, looking over here, I know there's a lot of people here, but let's say there's 30 people that aren't here that should be today. How do I know that? I mean, I assume some of them are probably watching online, right? And some are still kind of the end of summer. Maybe they're on vacation. I mean, there's a whole lot of people that might not be here that I wouldn't even know that they're not here. I'd have to have someone come and say, wait a minute, so-and-so's not here. Like, oh, that's right. Where are they? And you might do that as well. And you guys don't always, most of you do, but you don't always sit in the same seats. So you can't just look next door and say, oh, so-and-so's missing. Well, they might be sitting on the other side, or last week they sat over there. So, oh, yeah, they're just not here. But if you get in a small group, a home group, and you are not there, they will miss you. Matter of fact, they will miss you so much, the leader will call you. Say, are you okay? We missed you. Is everything all right? This is what we talked about. Is there anything you need? Is something I can do? I mean, that's the kind of accountability we're talking about. It's not that they're going to call you and berate you. They're going to check in. So a home group is really a weekly check-in. What did I say? Weekly check-in. I always wait for the gasp. Like, oh, weekly? Who can do weekly? Well, I am so committed to the home group that I think before you serve on the worship team, sorry, Josh, I don't mean to hammer on this, but before you serve on the worship team, you need to be going to a home group. If you're going to make a choice between being a worship team and being in a home group, you need to go to a home group. Before you decide, I want to be on the trustee board, well, before you be a trustee, you need to be on a home group. I mean, you need to have someone who is watching over your soul in love. Someone who cares about you, someone who checks in with you. And also the verse is true, someone then that you can check in on. You know, you made a connection last week at home group and so-and-so's not here this week. Well, now you're going to call them. Are you okay? I miss you this week. You're are you everything good? So it's a weekly check-in. Now, just an idea of the model, we really would like them in groups of 8 to 10 that watch over one another in love. Now, I understand there's stuff. Some of you have kids, right? Have sports and all kinds of activities. So you might have to miss a home group once in a while. Well, we want to have like maybe up to 15 on a home group roster so that each week we have at least 8 to 10 present. And then the leader and others will check on those ones that are absent and make sure they're okay. Is everything okay? And if you miss 2 weeks and 3 weeks, then you might have a sit down like, are you still interested? Are you still going to be available to this? I mean, that's a part of it. But and then finally, not just that, but also here this morning, it's a worship celebration. It says that the disciples, they met together from house to house, but also in the temple. I mean, they were in large groups. They worshiped together. 3,000, can you imagine? It would be like a big assembly, you know, in stadiums. I mean, they were there. So you are missing if you're not together with the church. As we worship together, as we hear the word of God proclaimed, as we pray for one another, there is something powerful when the body of Christ comes together in that way. There will be stuff powerful in the home groups. There will be powerful times in your personal devotions. But there is something supernaturally powerful when we get together as the church. So are you available? Are you available? That's how we keep together. One of my dearest friends, and I still love her today, her name is Lois Dobson. She was one of my early parishioners back in the early 80s. She is living now in a nursing home in Texas near her son. And she is 93, just turned 93. She was the most joy-filled person I knew. She always had a smile and would say things with a smile. But I remember her saying one time, that she when she got saved, she goes, she talked about the altar, and she goes, I was under the spout where the glory came out. And I Googled that. It turns out, oh my goodness, all kinds of preachers have said that. Songs have been written about that. But I heard it first from Lois Dobson. And Lois said, I'm put myself under the spout where the glory comes out. That's being available. Are you available? Are you available to God that he can pour into you? Or your cups turned up, saying, Lord, here I am. Bless me, that I might be a blessing. The second area of how we keep together is this whole idea of actively participating. Actively participating. Now, if you read that verse, it says they were continually devoting themselves. It didn't say they just sat around or they listened to the preacher online or they were actively involved, actively plugged in. I heard a comment from, I think it was Aaron McDonald. Oh, and by the way, about the trivia, Aaron coordinates the trivia. But I just wanted to say about the snack thing. The teams that have won didn't have the most snacks. So I'm just saying. I think eating a lot dulls your mind. So the sharp ones didn't have a lot of snacks. So anyway, so if you see a sharp team, take some of your food over to them, so that they can be busy eating and they can miss the question. But I talked to Aaron, and Aaron talked about when she at one time was in a new church, she did the what was the word now? Blend and what? Scatter. Blend and scatter was her phrase. And that so describes someone who wants to come to church and get blessed, but then they don't want to be actively involved. And I've had people like that. I mean, I had one, well, just a wonderful couple. I wanted to get to know them better. I could never catch them. They would come in. I would go back and introduce myself. I'd find out who they were. And literally at the last hymn, before we said amen, said the last hymn, before I could pray, they were out the door. I mean, they blended. They nobody really noticed us. We kind of sat in the back and we looked like everybody else. And then as soon as the last hymn was gone, they scattered. This research has told us if you don't actively get involved in a church, local church, but you won't last more than 6 months there. It just happens. And I can understand why, because Oakland is such a friendly church. But how long can you be a friendly church? I mean, someone greets, oh, good, we're so glad you're here. So, no, what's your name again? Can you do that for 6 months? Kind of gets old, right? You need to do something more. You need to get actively participate. I almost preached from John 15 when I was going to pick this scripture, and I thought you guys need to just hear Acts 2 a lot more, so we'll just keep reading that one. But John 15 talks about abiding in Christ. He said, unless you abide in me, you can do nothing. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me, and you will bear much fruit. And so how do we abide? What does abide mean? Does it mean I just come in and sit in the pew and just soak it up? Is that abide? Is the Lord just carries me around on, like a little baby, and he takes good care of me? I mean, there is times that you need that, absolutely. But abiding in Christ is an active participation. It's what you work at doing. I often think about people, what do you do when you're waiting, right? Well, nowadays, we you ever go into a doctor's office to watch people waiting? I mean, I'm kind of that way. I don't really like to talk to people in public. I mean, I am outgoing and extroverted, but get me in a doctor's office, waiting room, just don't talk to me. And then you always have that one friendly lady that slides over and wants to talk to you. And you're like, oh, phone's ringing. No, I don't. I never do that. I never lie. But we all are busy. We're checking our Facebook or TikTok or texting or doing email, whatever we're doing. We're always doing that, What if you'd actively participate? That's good. Actively pray. Actively, seek the Lord. I mean, you can do a lot of things while you're waiting. And I know you guys are waiters. Some of you some of your kids wait till they're 16, and they can't wait till they're 21, and then you get to be 60, and you can't wait till you're 65 or 66 in 2 months or whatever that is for you. And we're always waiting for something. The early church was waiting for the return of Christ, and they didn't just sit and wait. They didn't just sit and twiddle their thumbs. When the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them, they went out and proclaimed the gospel, and they were actively participating in the kingdom of God. In a home group, actively participating means, number one, you're available, you show up. Number two, it means you share. And one of the things we do at a home group is you will learn to talk about your faith. When someone says, well, where have you seen God at work in your life this week? You're like, I don't know. Well, that's okay to start with, but eventually you'll learn, you'll start looking around, and you'll be able to say, yes, this happened, And I sense God was doing something here. I mean, you begin to learn a vocabulary to talk about your faith. And actively participating doesn't mean you dominate the conversation. You don't have to talk all the time. Matter of fact, that's the leader's job to rein you in if you're an all-the-time talker. Now, some weeks you will need to talk because you're having something going on. But it can't be every week. And so one time the leader's going to say, okay, we thank you, we've shared a lot, and maybe you shared the last few weeks, we need to let other people share. Or maybe they'll be calling out the quiet person. I mean, my wife is a typical quiet person, that she'll just let me do all the talking. So someone will say, well, Darlene, what do you think of that? And then, you want to come up and share that? No, I'm kidding. I do love you. Not hearing anything there. That's the leader's job. That's what so actively participating. Now, it doesn't mean you bare your soul. This isn't that kind of group. I mean, over time, after a year or so, you will develop some deep relationships, and you'll probably share more than you would have before. But this is really sharing what you're comfortable with and what you see at work in your life. A lot of times when I do premarital counseling, I will share them up front the first couple of weeks, that this is confidential, what we share stays here, and I won't be spreading it to everybody else. So it'll be best for you if you're as honest as possible with me and with each other, with yourself. But then with that said, if you feel uncomfortable sharing something, don't share it. I'm not trying to pull out some hidden secret from your life. I mean, that isn't what this is about. And so a home group is the same thing. You will share, you will learn to share, but you don't, like, if you feel uncomfortable sharing it, then don't share it. You know, just keep it for the right time. So it's not that kind of a group. But anyway, the question is, where are you being available today? Where? At home? Are you available at home? I was always impressed with my brother. He worked in Atlanta. He commuted into the city and back every day. He would leave early in the morning. He would get home late at night. And he always had energy for his family. I mean, of course, he is kind of like the Energizer Bunny. It's kind of extreme, you know. He just go, 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 go. I go visit him in the lake. Darlene's like kind of apprehensive when I go with my brother because we never stop. Okay, we're going to go fishing, and then we're going to go this, and then we're going to go skiing, and then we're going to fix this, and then we're going to go this. And it's like golf, and it's like, we just go, 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 go. But I'm telling you what, I was so envious. He always had time for his family, always had energy for his family. He was always actively involved in raising his family. He loved them dearly. Where are you actively involved? At work? How actively involved are you at work? In your community? In ministry? In your marriage? In your health, you know, I can't, you know, but in your eating, I got to sit between service with someone who quit eating meat. I'm like, really? I didn't, like I'm still at it. I mean, how are you actively working at that? How about your diabetes? Are you actively involved taking care of that? I mean, it's just, there's a million things. Where are you actively involved? Where are you actively involved in your relationship with God? If we're going to stay together, if we're going to keep together in the body of Christ, we need to be actively working at it. Actively working. And finally, the last one would be accountability. And it's self-accountability. Self-accountability. If you look at the verse 45, and they would sell their property and possessions and share with them all to the extent that anyone had need. I want you to get on the word share. Okay? You know, sharing is voluntary. Right? They didn't make them sell their properties. They wanted to do that. If you have two little kids and they won't share, and you say, now you have to share with your brother. Now give that to him. Is that sharing? No, that's being ordered to give that over. That's not sharing. Sharing is voluntary. And so when we talk about accountability, it's self-accountability. It's your desire to be accountable. You're holding yourself accountable. You know, and so accountability, get this now, is not getting to tell others how to behave. I know that's what we'd like accountability to be. I'd like to be able to tell you what you're doing wrong. You're really bugging me this way. You know, this is what you ought to do differently. That isn't accountability I'm talking about. I'm talking about self-accountability. So when you come to a home group, you will share where you see God at work in your life. You will share how the sermon is applied to you. You will share how you're trying to apply that in your life. It's not someone else telling you how you have to do it. But you get to share that. Now, it is self-accountability. When I think about this keeping together in terms of the future of the United Methodist Church, well, we have a covenant in the United Methodist Church. It's called the Book of Discipline. It's about bigger than a Bible, honestly. But the Book of Discipline is voted on every 4 years at our general conference. And it is the agreed upon covenant by which we will live by. And so if we will hold ourselves accountable to that, then we can be United Methodists. Well, in 2019 was our last general conference. And at that conference, we voted to stay orthodox and biblical in our Book of Discipline. We voted to stay consistent with the body of Christ around the world. With 2,000 years of Christian history, we want to stay intact in that way. But after that 2019 General Conference, a lot of churches decided they were no longer going to abide by the Book of Discipline. A lot of Board of Ordained Ministries decided they were not going to listen to the Book of Discipline anymore. There were some bishops that said they were no longer going to enforce the Book of Discipline any longer. So my conviction is, well, then you're no longer United Methodist. Because this is the covenant by which we are living. And so right now, there's you know, probably will be changes in our Book of Discipline in the next few years. And so when we talk about keeping together, I'm not talking about keeping together to an organization. I'm talking about keeping together to the body of Christ. And we will stay true to the Word of God. We will stay orthodox. And we will stay consistent with 2,000 years of Christian history. And we will continue to serve the Lord. That is our plan. That is our hope. But you can't force someone to be accountable, right? I mean, the church is a volunteer organization, okay? You can't make people listen. So they get to choose. And so the same is true with home groups. It's really self-accountability. It's where you hold yourself accountable. It is where you confess your own faults to yourself and to God and to one another. And then you move on from there. How do we keep together? We keep together, we keep growing by keeping our eyes focused on Jesus, by feeding on his word, by being held accountable and holding others accountable. You know, I heard the story, and I've shared it before, about a minister that went to visit an inactive member, someone who hadn't been attending. And they went there, and they were sitting in, I think it was in, he had a fireplace, and he had some logs burning in the fireplace. And if you could picture being outside at a campsite, you know, at a fire pit. And as they sat there, they didn't talk a lot. They just kind of sat there, and the fire, you know, was starting to burn down. So the pastor reached up with a poker and pulled the logs away from each other. And you know what happened, right? What happens? Fire goes out. The fire was just about out. And finally, the pastor jumped up and pushed all the ends of the logs back in together. And you know what happened? It flamed up again. And he kind of looked over at the inactive parishioner, and he shook his head. He says, yeah, I get it. If I want to keep together, I'm going to keep my fire lit. And not only my fire, but maybe my fire will help keep someone else's fire lit. So a home group isn't just for your benefit, it's for someone else's benefit. Someone says, well, why? I don't really want to go this week, or I don't know if I have time. I don't know if I have time to sign up. Someone else might need you to give a word of encouragement. The word of sharing might be exactly what they need to hear. I had a lady come to me after the first service, and she said, well, she actually said the last few sermons have hit her right on the money with experiences that she has had. And somebody came over to her in the first service and shook her hand, and she said, years ago, we were in a Bible study group together at your house, and you taught me how to be a Christian. You taught me how to pray together with my husband. You taught me how to reach out to others. And this lady was in tears, saying that, you know, I didn't know that was happening. I didn't know that I was had that kind of a blessing on somebody else. My friends, we're going to keep together. We're going to keep the fire lit in our life. Not just the fire. What do I mean by the fire? The life of Jesus in me. Yes. Amen? That is what's going to be kept alive. The Holy Spirit will be continued. It says, fan into flame the gift of God that is in you by the laying on of my hands. As we stay together, as we keep together, we stay a part of the body of Christ, and we fan the flame of God in each of our lives and in our own life. That's my prayer for you, for us as a church, for me personally, but also for the launch of these home groups. There are still cards out in the back if you want to sign up. We'll try to get you all fit into a home group. If not, we'll get you by October. If not, we'll get you by January. But this is going to be an ongoing process, and we are not giving up, and we will remain faithful and true as we follow Jesus. Amen? Amen. You pray for me as I pray for you. Lord, I thank you that you are the God of the future. Lord, you are the God of the present. You are here with us today, and you are the God of the past. All the promises you made, you have fulfilled and are fulfilling, and we will trust you to fulfill them in the days ahead. Continue to lead and guide us, we pray, as we keep our eyes focused on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Oakland Church. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.